You're listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. I'm Luann Linnegan.
And I'm James Wrench.
Hi, James Wrench. So that was good. I did it quick, even though we're waiting for James to get settled down here. Settle down. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to start with some announcements. First of all, you're listening to WCNO 89.9. It's 5 p.m. and this is Kingdom Recovery. Welcome, listeners. We hope you enjoy the program. And if you have any questions, you can always reach out to me, 631-745-7980. We do this segment, which is Kingdom Recovery. It's the 12 steps. It's counseling, any kind of therapeutic environment linked to the Word of God, which is first, the foundation. So because that's my background. So as far as, you know, mental health, spiritual condition, and then the body will transform and start to operate properly. Right, James? Amen. Amen. So that's what Kingdom Recovery is all about. It's about taking concepts, therapeutic concept, 12-step concepts, and applying it to God's Word. Actually, God's Word and that being applied, actually.
I wish your soul prosper. Above all things, I wish you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers.
Amen. So it's about the renewing of the mind, right, and being transformed in our hearts so that our bodies can start to operate properly and rise above the things of the world. Hallelujah. So we are doing a Kingdom Recovery biblical teaching on God's will for deliverance and healing. James will be teaching all of it, but I'll be there to interject and meet people and say hello. And then whenever, because I've done it, you know, we've been interacting in my ministry, his ministry, for how many years now? 15 years, 14 years, James? Yeah, a long time. So we're very, yeah, he doesn't have his headset on. He's just talking.
I went without the headset when I was by myself the last time.
Yeah, that's okay. Because I'm pretty loud without, you don't need to hear me in your ears.
Yeah, I really.
Amen.
What happens when I'd hear myself, I'd talk lower. And I'd listen to the CD, I'm like, oh.
Okay. So we're doing a biblical teaching on deliverance and healing. James is going to be the teacher for that. We're going to do actual laying hands on each other and learning how to do deliverance and healing and ways to speak to spiritual conditions. How's that? Amen. Amen. So that will be in October every Thursday, 5 Thursdays in October at 6:30 p.m. It's October 1st, October 8th, October 15th, October 22nd and 29th. And it will be done at, we'll be meeting at Treasure Coast Victory Center in Fort Pierce. And that's 3212 South US 1. But I have all the information. And if you do call the station, the radio station, at 772-221-1100, they can always give you my information. And I will take I'll ask you to text me. And then I'll take a picture of the flyer. And I will send it to you so that you have it physically. And in Mark 16, this is what it's based on. Mark 16, 17, 18 says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we want to be able to practice that with each other. So it's going to be intimate environment. You know, we'll get to meet some of the list. I hope so. I mean, I hope people are interested to come, because I would like to meet some of you. I mean, I do get a lot of text messages or voicemails saying that they and you, you know, some people are enjoying the show, and it's really a blessing to hear from you guys. So feel free to contact me again, 631-745-7980. Okay. So with that, I'm having a special guest next week. It's going to be with throwing James out for the day. It's going to be Women's Day. But David will be here. David will be here. Amen. And so we're going to be talking about Whole Heart Ministries and what Joe is doing. She's a preacher, minister, her and her husband in London. They have a church there, and they've been doing ministry for many, many years. And before COVID, they were really expanding here in the States. And then COVID happened, and, you know, of course, the world shut down and things got cuckoo. Right, James? And then now that it's passed, they've reintroduced themselves into the States, and they're down in Miami especially. They're in some of her curriculum is in schools, and so she's doing a big conference in October also. So she's going to come in and share about all that. Okay? And that'll be, a two-day conference. So she'll talk more about what she does next week. So I'll hopefully have Miss Becky here, Joe and Josie and myself, and we will be reaching out to you guys listening. So today we've been talking about step four. We were on pride for a while because pride is a big deal. It's self will run riot. It's self, me first, me. It's the song of me. I, self, me, ism. So, you know, all those isms that we say, it's really me in the way of what God's trying to do. It's my will over his will. It's me putting my idols and crowns, right? My gods in front of God, above God, and all to satisfy me.
And the deeper you give it the Lord, the deeper you see the thread goes.
Yeah.
And things that are just seem so not prideful start showing you. Like we've talked about insecurity being pride, and I'd never had a clue if God had spoke to me on that one day. Because I was so insecure.
So we did all the pride, because now we're going to continue and we're going to talk about fear, and, you know, pride gets in there too. So everything we talk about resentments, fear, and harms done, sexual harms done, and harm and relationship harms done. When we say sexual harms done, yes, we're talking about physically intimate relationships, maybe affairs, or, you know, harms done to others, or maybe someone harming us. But also we're talking about relationship harms, you know, just people that might have been secondary or thirdary involved. Amen. Okay, we need to recognize that when we do something or something is done to us, there's a trickle effect that can affect others. And then there are also generational issues that may have affected us. And we didn't know it until we start looking at this inventory and we say, oh, my God, this has been a pattern in my family. You know, there's no coincidence that when we go to a doctor or wherever you go, they always ask you about a family history. There's a reason for that, because there are things that get passed down, and the same thing happens in the spiritual. Okay, so James will be talking about that a lot in October. And if you want more detail and, you know, ask questions, it's more intimate, that kind of meeting when we're all live with each other. We can really interact much better than just on the radio, which is also very good, but, you know, it would be nice to interact with some of our listeners. So that will be really deeply addressed during that time. So we're going to talk about today, we left off where a thorough inventory, leaving nothing out. You know, we have to examine our hearts. Is there any rebellion? Is there anything that's causing us to continue certain behaviors that are hindering our growth? You know, and also, and where do they come from? Because that's where this is like, without knowing when we're doing this, because I didn't know what I was doing when I first did the 12 steps, because I didn't have the Holy Spirit teaching me and guiding me. I wasn't a disciple. I wasn't fully following. I wasn't sold out to Jesus, you know, so I was doing it in the natural, and it still had some. Similar to like when we go to a chiropractor, so you're going to have some relief. Or even if you go to a tarot card person, you might feel better when you leave because you're like, well, life is going to be good. Or you could feel worse. But it's a temporary thing.
Your kids may feel worse.
Yeah, yeah. It's a temporary thing, right? So the same thing is here. I didn't know, but it was a form. It was preparing myself for deliverance. Because step five is sharing it with God and another human being and the exact natures of our wrongs. And what I was doing was a foreshadow, this is amazing, of what God has me do now, but he's centered in it. So now when we get to that fourth column, we always recognize, okay, so what's the pattern and what does God say we should be doing? What's the reverse? What's the opposite of that? What does God say about you? So, you know, when we're being prideful, be humble. You know, and we get to recognize, oh, I can change that about myself, about that old message, about that belief system that I was believing. Because you're a new creation, okay? It doesn't, but you still have some, biologically, you're a new creation by his blood, okay? Let's say that. But environmentally, you're not. You have to renew the mind. You got to grow up.
Your spirit comes back to life.
Your spirit comes back to life, right. But your soul still needs nurturing, growing. You know, it's like being a newborn baby and leaving that baby sit there. They're going to develop skills and tools on their own like we did before we got born again, you know. And then they're going to probably go back to whoever is going to help them and feed them, right? So if we don't nurture after we're born again, the soul... And learn, let the Holy Spirit teach. Only the Holy Spirit can teach us things of God. If you're not submitting to the Holy Spirit, if you're not obedient or following Jesus, because the Holy Spirit is going to lead us always to Jesus, you could be born again, but still not choose to follow Jesus. You're a new creation, but you're wah, wah, little baby there, and you're allowing your old nature to rule
your life.
Your life. And we want the new man, the new identity, the new disposition, the new creation. Jesus came and put a whole new species of humanity on earth, a holy one, a righteous one. There was nothing like that. You can't be that without Jesus.
Just imagine instead of like having mirrors in our houses, you had a board there that had electronic scriptures that just tell you who you are. I mean, you look in the mirror. Which, because that is our mirror, is the word of God of who we really are. Every time we look in there, it tells us something that biblically that we are.
Amen.
What scripture says we are.
Amen. And the Holy Spirit, that's what his job, that's his purpose, is to come in and raise you up and lead and guide you in God's word. And he always leads and guides because he loves Jesus. He's the love in you that loves Jesus. Ooh.
Amen.
That's so good. Right? And he's the love in you that loves others. He's the patience in you that has patience. He's all the character of God inside of you that can manifest out of you. But we have to let him. We have to make a conscious decision, right? From the subconscious to the conscious, to allow the Holy Spirit to manifest out of us. So he could do, first he has to do a work in us, right? So that we gather and we can recognize these skills and these talents and these gifts that we got, and then we can utilize them. When he hands us one in our heart and he says, I need you to use this, tolerance or mercy, we're like, oh, okay, you're giving me mercy, I'll give it to someone. You see? But if I don't have that relationship, I won't recognize mercy, and I won't be able to share it with another person. I can't share. If I'm not growing fruit, I can't share fruit. And that's how you know who's a disciple of Jesus. A disciple is someone who follows Jesus. Now, you could be a believer. You could be born again and still not be a disciple. So, and I think that's what people kind of question, like, oh, well, how could they say they're a believer, but they're doing this? They could be a believer, but they're just not a disciple. They're choosing not to follow. That's the difference. You want to say something, James?
No, I was just thinking. Something might be a little deep. Just a guy that would have encounters, a prophet that had some wild experience and things that showed up in the natural, like rain, like snow on a hot day. And he was had an encounter where he's seen the devil's showcase of what he had stole from the church. And holiness was in there.
Amen. Amen.
And he said, steal that, take it back to the church. So it's like this fear of God, the fear of the Lord, and holiness is what's missing a lot.
Amen. Amen. You know, and holiness is the, like we were also saying, it's a heart, a pure heart, purified heart, meaning not innocent. We shared it a little bit last week. It's not like the innocence of a person. It's the motive. The pure motive is to fulfill God's desire. It's to please God. That's what honoring is. That's what love is to God. That's what fear of the Lord is, you know? And, speaking of fear, that's what we're going to talk about today. Fear seizes us from truth, whether it's fancy, unknown, actual, and that's in the natural, what we actually reality, or spiritual, in the spiritual realm. So we have to recognize truth, true truth, and the only truth is in God's word. He's the what? The way, the truth, and the life, right? So it's only through Jesus that we will understand the true truth, the truth, and that's the word of God, right? If it doesn't line up, the unknown is usually something we create in our minds, and it's not even a valid fear. It's created, manifested by torment from, you know, past experiences, demons convincing us we're not who we are, and things like that. Or it could be what we're relying on natural resources, and we come up with our own, conscious truth, what we read about, what we experience, and we stay stuck on those things. Where in the spiritual, it's so much bigger. It's faith, right? And we'll share a little bit about faith. So fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. Be afraid of something or someone. It could even be God negatively. We could be afraid of God. Fear. And not fear of God in a healthy way. So we have a level of fear. It's like two sides of the coin. But the fear of reverence, fear, the love, and it's real fear. Like, you know, like I would fear my life without God. That's the kind of fear. I mean, that's pretty fearful.
And real fear. Fear God. I mean, if you're in disobedience, you may have fear. But if you're in obedience and you're feeling fear, then that's something wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So, and honoring and loving God is fear of the Lord. Without Him, I'm fearful. That fears me to be fearful without Him. I don't want to be fearful.
People would have more fear of man.
Yeah. Exactly.
They're so insecure about what people think.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And that's
thinking about what God's.
And that's the actual fear, the natural environment, the influences that we have in our senses. We rely on that and we believe that. But that's not the truth. That's man-made realities, basically. You know? So it also means to, as likely to be dangerous, painful, or threatening, or danger to an individual's physical or psychological well-being, okay? And we need to seize. It says fear seizes us, and that means blinds us. Well, I put blind, but binds us because it blinds us, right, from truth. All right? What is seize? Lambano. Pat used to say that. To take hold of. Suddenly or forcefully, take an opportunity eagerly. So it's fear versus faith. And we need to make a decision. Take an opportunity eagerly. Be bold and not blind and not bound. Have faith and not fear. And faith, to have faith, it's not the seen, right? It's now faith is confidence in what we hope for. And assurance about what we do not see. So we're not relying on our natural senses. We're relying on the discernment that the Holy Spirit reveals to us, the mysteries of the Word of God that are no longer mysteries to us as we learn. Go ahead.
And fears, most fear is projective in what the enemy is telling you will go wrong. So fear and faith are both faith. Faith is that you believe God is going to do for the better of you. And fear is more faith in that the enemy and for the destruction of you is going to come.
You're believing, right. Yeah. Fear
it's
is
actually putting faith,
it's faith in fear.
Future
fear,
going
faith,
wrong.
Or true faith. There you go.
Okay. I always say, like, if your kid's late at school or something, you're always, you never think, oh my gosh, I bet he's getting an award. You're thinking, what trouble is he in now? The enemy always keeps us in the negative.
So we have a choice to be truthful, but in our own fleshly nature, our own mentality, which is usually led by pride and self and, you know, demonic influence and fear, will seize us from coming clean. We will hide behind bushes. We will hide things from God and others. Meanwhile, God knows all things, right? But because we feel it's only between me and God, or, you know, if I don't reveal that, it's not real. Sometimes we live in the denial. Denial, right? Mm-hmm. Runs deep. Denial runs deep. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, we believe our own lies. I did. For many years, I believed all my lies. And then you tell so many that you don't even know which ones are real anymore.
Well, you can't keep up with what you said that was a lie. So your stories, then you start, you probably get fear. What did I say?
Yes. So we want to be transparent. Into me you see. That's sanctification, transparency, intimacy with God and others. If I can't be intimate with God, I definitely cannot be intimate with others. There's no way. I might think I am, but I'm not. So, your body, your flesh will be with you until you physically die. So there will always be temptation, and it's up to us to know the difference between the false and the truth. And the Holy Spirit will reveal to us these things. You might not remember them as you're reading the word and you're reading and you're hearing the word and you're going to church and, you know, you're listening to ministers, you're reading literature that, you know, on certain topics that the word is centered in. You might not all remember it all. Sometimes I'm reading and I can't remember what I read this morning, but then during the day or tomorrow, he might bring it up to my remembrance. It goes from the subconscious to the conscious, but only the Holy Spirit can do that. Bring up God's word where it can be relevant and have good results for the pleasure, for the pleasing of God in it when it comes up. It's usually somebody sharing something and he says, I need you to use that word. He'll nudge you, you know. So Psalms 52:1-3 says, why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. Your tongue devises destruction, like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness. Selah. And that's the ending of music, right? In Psalms. That's what Selah is. Because some of them say that. So that's a song. That's a scripture that teaches us about our mouth and being convinced of our lies also and spewing them out of our mouth, okay, rather than truth. And that's why the fourth step, writing this stuff down, and then the fifth step, sharing with another person who you really are, becoming transparent, getting out of that bush. When God came in the garden, he said, where are you, Adam? He knew where Adam was. He gave Adam an opportunity to come out and reveal himself and confess, but he chose not to. So we need to either seize faith, take a hold of faith, or we will be seized by fear. Up to us. So 1 Timothy 6:10-19, but it says, take hold of the life, and I'm just summarizing more of 19. Take hold of the life that is truly life. And, you know, Pastor Tom did a scripture today on his daily reprieve. I guess I'll call it daily word. And it was choose life. So I'm going to read it. It says, I will put, allow none of these diseases upon thee. And that's in Exodus 15:26. God is offering his people a protection plan, an insurance plan, an umbrella that will keep the curse from falling on them. He has no union with sin, with spiritual death, or with sickness and disease. He is the Lord who heals you. People will say, God didn't put sickness on me, but he allowed it. God will allow you to rob a bank, commit sin, backslide, and not shower and stink if you allow it. It's true. God is not the only spiritual force in your life. There are angels and demons that exist. Amen. You are a free will. You have a free will to operate in faith or fear, joy or sorrow, worry or peace. You have a free will to choose. God tells you to choose his word, choose his voice, choose life and blessing. But you can also choose the devil's word, his voice, his death, and the curse. You must choose, just like Adam, where you will eat. Will you choose to eat of the blessing or of the curse? People are not destroyed because God is punishing them, but because of lack of knowledge. God sent you the Holy Ghost so you could be led into all truth and be free. The truth is that God created you healed. He wants you healed, and he is your healer. He will allow sickness if you choose it. He has no choice. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ had made you free. And that's in Galatians 5:1. Resist, it says, first we have to say, submit to God. Yes. I want to put that in there. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So we have to submit to God. And that's James 4:7. Neither give place to the devil in your life. Ephesians 4:27. Tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And that's Luke 10:19. And you choose to be blessed. We choose. Go ahead.
And I always point out that to submit to God, it's like you talk to somebody and say they have a lot of stuff comes from unforgiveness, and a lot of, like, half the disease comes from fear, but we don't recognize it. And so you talk to someone, oh, you don't know what they did to me. I'm like, okay, you're going to submit to the devil, and you're going to, you're not going to be able to resist him.
Right.
Because you're submitting to him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We have to forgive everyone. We're commanded to forgive everyone.
Yes. If we want to be forgiven. Amen. God says it.
If you want to walk in the curse, it's like, because when you read that, it sounds like, well, I don't want disease. No, it's just where he's blindsided us. We don't see, we may have the jealousy or whatever.
Correct.
It is, we don't see where the enemy's.
Right. It's very subtle. He's a.
Yeah. Rejection's a big one. And a lot of stuff comes from that. Like,
yeah. Control.
And stuff.
You know, so many different things, you know, that can open the door.
Don't be teaching all that stuff.
Yeah, amen, amen.
Different causes with different diseases and
a
lot of healing through repentance when you recognize it. And it don't happen immediate sometimes. There was a guy with diabetes. It took him 6 months after learning it and just working on himself, and he was healed, though.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and it is. Bitterness is very, very subtle. You don't even know, because you can say, oh, I forgive that person. Hey, listen, it happened the other day when you said, I see something in there. I was like repenting. Oh, my God, maybe something did come up. You know, and it runs deep, right? So it may take some time. But as soon as it comes up, recognize it, rebuke it. You know, ask God, forgive me, Father. That's it. It's that simple. But we want to, you know, think it has to be this whole major thing. It doesn't. And the more you do it, the more it becomes a lifestyle.
And just for, I know we've gave this before, but my mom had trigger finger.
Mm-hmm.
And I rebuked that out. I was like, this is bitterness. That's the roots of arthritis. Mm-hmm. I rebuked it out of her. Took about 10 minutes. Came out and freed up. 6 days later, locked back up. Her thumb's locked up. I said, Mom, somebody not forgiven. She thinks she knew who it was. Forgave. I cast it out again. Took about 20 minutes the second time. Comes out. Frees up. 6 days later, locks back up. I said, Mom, somebody not forgiven. And she honestly did not know who it could be. And I pray for God to show her. I didn't pray again. I wasn't going to keep doing that. And 2 months later, she had a dream, something my dad did 30 years earlier. She ain't even thinking about, but she never forgave him.
Amen.
And in the dream, she walked in. He was doing whatever it was he was doing 30 years ago. She punched him, knocked him down. She's kicking him on the floor. And she woke up and said, "Oh, Lord, I forgive him for that." And instantly her thumb freed up and was free for 19 years until she died.
Yeah. So if you're not sure.
So it's just subtle. Right. Ask the Lord. I just want to say real quick. The Lord wants to. He don't bring them up because you just get mad thinking about what they did. But if you honestly want to deal with it, he will show
Amen.
You. Just pray, "Lord, show me." And he'll keep showing you people you don't even ever realize you have it.
Yeah, there's prayers about that, you know, clean my heart, you know, like that's what he wants us to ask for. Those are praying, hitting the target. That's a hit Amen. Prayer. You know, you hit it when you pray like that. It's just that it's scary to pray like that because he's going to reveal stuff and we have to be accountable for it, you know?
You see a lot of these deliverances where everything's thrashing on the floor and screaming, and a lot of that's just bitterness and, if you wrestle it out of the person, it's going to get right back in. You need to find out why it's got so much control over them and get them to repent.
Amen.
And that's not 100%, but that's like 90% of the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of them may get free and stay free, but there's really a cause of why the spirit has control.
Right. So just ask him to reveal. So we believe lies on no one knows, no one can see, no one heard, no one will get hurt. And we are in control when we think we are in control when we're hiding those things, when we think, oh, nobody knows this, nobody, you know. But you're not. You're not. Matter of fact, it's so out of control because you're allowing all the doors of curses and, you know, torment and just things to be, you're exposing yourself when we're thinking we're hiding things. It's the same, you remember when we left off at the scripture where, who was it? Ananias and his wife hid the profit that he made.
Yeah.
He didn't reveal it all. God didn't. If he was honest from the beginning, he didn't have to give any exactly. Or if he only wanted to give what he gave, and then just let them know this is what we're comfortable with right now. That's okay. God's not going to force us. But he hid it, thinking because he was using it as.
You want to praise him,
a God, basically, too. Like, you know, like that's in case this doesn't work out. He wasn't fully sold out.
He was wanting praise of men, too.
Yeah.
Hey, I gave it all. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like.
Oh, when he was acting like he gave everything. Yeah.
So that's a very scary one there, wanting to praise of men. It's a real pitfall in the church.
So Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who covers his sin will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." Praise the Lord. He's a forgiving God. Grace and mercy. Grace and mercy is pouring out right now. Right now.
We wouldn't be here. When
grace and mercy is right now. It's full in this room. Oh, my God. It's all over this room. Grace and mercy is everywhere. If your heart's not lined up with it, you can't recognize it. You can't even reap the benefits of it because your heart is rejecting it. It's bouncing off. You know, because you're full of maybe bitterness or fear or anger. And God wants to get past those things with you. He wants you to be filled with grace, his grace and mercy. It's still pouring out as we're talking right now. Pouring everywhere. But we have to line up and receive what he's already done. It's always coming. He's around us all the time. Holy Spirit, if he's not in you, he's around you. I know. Before I received the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I didn't have the Holy Spirit inside of me. But I do know he was influencing my environment at times in my life, wooing me, you know, and that's what he does. He's always been here. But when we allow him and invite him in, he will sit and dine in us, not with us, in us. Hallelujah. Right? That's what it says, the scripture. So we lie, we cheat, we steal, we kill, we manipulate, and we betray when we are in agreement with sin. And when I say that, it is that extreme. We lie, we cheat, we steal, we kill. We kill with our mouth. Okay? We can talk and hurt someone and not even stabbing. Daggers can come out of our mouth. Right? We manipulate and we betray when we are in agreement with sin. And James was saying that, who, you know, if we're in agreement with the enemy, bitterness, well, you don't know what they did to me. Right there.
I know what Jesus did for you.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
The problem is they don't realize what Jesus did.
Right. So, and if he did that for us so that you can be free, I can be free.
Then all we have to do is forgive to be free.
We have to forgive too. Exactly. So stay attached to our, and what happens is we're staying attached to the earthly nature of who we are and not the new creation of who we really are in Christ. Okay. We're holding on to the old ideas, the old beliefs, the old experiences, the things that we think give us a right. We have to give up our rights. Period. No more rights. Give it to God. He gets all the rights. Surrender. Proverbs 17:20 says, he who has a deceitful heart finds no good, and he who has a perverse tongue falls into evil. Lies strike us down. They strike us down. James 1:14-15 says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So as soon as I put myself first, what am I getting out of this? Or what am somebody going to try to get out of me out of this? I just put myself in the wrong, not in line. I'm not, it's not raining, both God raining and raining, pouring out on me, his love, his forgiveness, his tolerance, his mercy, his grace. Okay. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. So just as Jesus's seed gives birth and grows fruit in us, right? And then out of us, and we can share our fruit. So does sin. So does the devil.
It molds you.
Okay. When it is fully grown, brings forth death. And whenever we share that, it's always in the end going to be destruction. If we're going to share bitterness with bitterness, if I'm going to grow bitterness and that person is sharing bitterness and there's strife between us and we're just tossing between strife. Bananas.
<You know? laughs> How many people look like bitterness when they're old?
Like exactly. Eventually, your body just, you know,
that's starts, what I'm saying,
yeah,
you,
that's what your image and likeness is going to be like. Exactly. So truth raises us up, free to go to heavenly places. We rise above these things. Hallelujah. That's what truth does. It makes us free. Okay. God created us. And we get to make with the Holy Spirit who we want to become in Christ, like his image and likeness. But it's up to us to do the work with him. Partnership. Be obedient.
Romans 13:8, when we walk in love, we fulfill the law.
Amen. Amen.
New covenant.
So we become pregnant, and that's what conceived is. It says that when desire has conceived. Pregnant with the sin bananas, right? Tossing bananas at each other. All right. And we form some ideas and we plan and design in our mind and we create scenarios and lies and we live by them. No bueno, no good. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free, free from the law of sin. Like James was just saying, spiritual death, separation from God, all of that, you get free from all that. And the Holy Spirit of God, right? And you get to be in the sunlight of the Father. Oh my gosh. You're in his presence. Praise the Lord. So we don't worry. We have to keep up. Because when you worry, why do we worry? Because we have to keep up with lies. Who did I tell this person? Oh my God, what if they find out? We're always hiding, right? We lose worry when we start living in the truth. What a freedom. That's liberty, right? We don't live in fear anymore. We don't have to be afraid that we're going to be found out because we're not who we say we are. We don't even know who we are. Are others going to find out? Are they coming for me? Or what are they going to think when they find out the truth about me? And we live like that, but we don't have to when we allow truth to come into our hearts and we allow truth, the Holy Spirit, to minister, teach us, guide us, rebuke us in certain areas, and help renew our minds to be transformed in the image and likeness of God. So we can live in peace, knowing that God loves us even when we fall short of the glory. Okay? The perfection that he's looking for in us is not in our works. The perfection is in our spiritual influence. Are we spiritually influencing people that God is real? That Jesus is real and what he did for us was not for naught? I mean, that's what he's looking for. Right, James? Mm-hmm. So sinful nature comes naturally when we continue to live in lies. We start to not even realize. And that's when we say things like, well, when they say they're sorry, or, you know, we start to justify, we become our own judge, why we are allowed or have the right to think that way or act that way or speak that way.
And unforgiveness, keeping unforgiveness doesn't, forgiving them doesn't let them off the hook.
Mm-mm.
But unforgiveness is like you taking on, okay, I'm just going to get arthritis. That'll show you. I mean, you're taking on a whole bunch of stuff, possibly
right.
Cancer, all
it's
kinds of stuff.
It's drinking the poison and expecting the other person to die.
Yeah, and you don't realize you're really, you forgive it. You forgive for you when you really learn what's happening, because you want to walk in peace and joy and love, and you don't want to walk in sickness and disease.
Amen.
You realize forgiveness is the greatest thing.
The greatest thing ever. The greatest gift ever. Because what is forgiveness? Love.
This humility.
Oh, my God. So we are all born into sin. So there's no exceptions by Adam's rebellion. So we could try to be the best person in the world and actually be a good person. But God's not looking for good. Okay? We could do all that all we want. All right? He's looking for new creation, new man, image and likeness of him. Someone who's totally laid it down and said, I don't want to be anything like I used to be. That's what he's looking for. Okay? So no one has to teach a child to lie, but we do go to great lengths to teach them how to tell the truth. Mm-hmm. And how to put others first, share. Like, we got to teach kids how to do that. The first instincts, this is just evidence that we are all born in the same mess. The first instinct is mine, you know? Yeah. And when whether you're physical, I was a biter. Oh, my cousin.
Really?
Oh, my God, I was a biter.
Oh, my.
Like, latch on bite. So my aunts would come over and nobody wanted to put them in the playpen. Because I was like, if I got frustrated, I bit you. And I didn't let go.
You get delivered of that?
I got delivered of that, thank God. So the sin nature is that aspect in man that makes him rebellious against God. When we speak of the sin nature, we refer to the fact that we have a natural inclination to sin. Given the choice to do God's will or our own, we will naturally choose to do our own will. The only force, the only influence that can help us not do our own will is the Holy Spirit, the will of God, inside of us. That's the only chance we have. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, we don't have the ability not to sin. We just don't. We don't have the option, actually. I mean, we always have an option, but it's very difficult to stay steadfast in the not sinning and to be transformed where it becomes, you don't even desire it anymore.
And don't be confused, because some sins don't tempt you, because that's not in your line. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't have a problem, say, not lying, or maybe not even drinking, smoking, and cussing or anything else, but there is things, the ones you do deal with, you need the Lord to get free.
Amen. Amen. So, and when Adam sinned or rebellion in the garden, when he rebelled in the garden, okay, he wanted, it was about his rights, you know, it was spiritual death. It was ignorance, darkness from God's divine nature, okay? No longer was he influenced by the Holy Spirit. He had no ability to be able to be in the presence of God.
We're just Amen. Laughing because it got a little.
We have very creative people at WCNO, creative minds here. And so there are some things that are said that cartoons can be made, like my banana throwing. Maybe I'll take a picture and share it. So God sent Jesus to bring us the new nature, the new man, the new creation here on earth. So he gave us a whole brand new, species of humanity, basically, holy and righteous, okay? His divine nature, the now testament, the Holy Spirit in me testament.
That's the mystery revealed.
Amen.
Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what is sin and sinful flesh? What is it? Romans 8, 3, 4 says, for what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. The only way Jesus can do this, God can fulfill this, was through a human vessel, Jesus. Jesus chose to come here. Jesus chose to come as a baby. He had to start the way God created humanity. Couldn't skip it. He had to start the way we start. Okay? And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So he did that also that we can manifest righteous living, okay, according to the Spirit, not to the flesh. What does it look like? Not I do good, so I'm righteous, not because of my works, but because of what Jesus did. The Holy Spirit is glorified. His Spirit is glorified out of us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Colossians 3, 5, 8 says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. So whatever you think you know, I don't care how much you think you know, the Holy Spirit will probably renew all of it because that's probably in the way. Everything you think you know. And I'm one of those people. You know, I thought if I knew this, if I could be, I can become smart. I could do these things, be the best. But everything that I thought I knew, even in the field that I'm in, on a spiritual level, all that natural stuff means nothing. All that bitty doo-doo, every diagnosis, everything I studied means nothing in the spiritual realm. It's so much bigger in the spiritual realm. And obvious, you know? Praise the Lord. So sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. So evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. So there you go. If you want to know what idolatry is, it's in the lines with that. But now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these. This is the subtle things that James is talking about. Okay? Anger. And I used to go to meetings and, you know, when the Holy Spirit came inside of me and I was able to bust through the walls of 12-step programs and therapeutic groups and all that, and I got to see spiritual realm, I would sit there because I had spiritual revelation, I would roll my eyes. No good. You know, that was a form of judgment, and I would get angry.
And pride.
Yeah, pride. Judgment, pride, and anger. Like, you know? So it's very subtle. Rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Filthy language is not only curse words, okay, but it's talking against people. That's dirt. That's dirty. That's impure. Okay? Galatians 5, 19, 21 says, now the word of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, something nobody thinks about. When things start dividing, when you say, well, you know, that person wronged me, or they don't want to hang out with me anymore because I do this, and we shut the door. No, you always leave your bridge down. Keep the door open. Every once in a while, reach out to that person. Send a note. Buy a gift. I don't know, but let them know you're alive. And you're thinking about them. Sometimes I text people, you're on my heart today. Just want to reach out and say hello. Doesn't mean that person chooses to hang out with me. But it's up to me to step out and touch base. You know? So dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit, partake, okay, the kingdom of God. We want to partake right now. Inherit, your inheritance is right now, not when you die. Right now, it's available to you to partake, to lambano, to seize. Religious beliefs, traditions, positions, titles, generational beliefs, and personal vows, covenants, cures on others with the enemy. These are things that we do, that we have done. I have done things like this when I was younger. I played the Ouija board. All these things allow for dissension, envy, these things to consume me, anger. It opens doors to allow the enemy to have permission legally to come in and invade territory of my soul, heart, and my life. And not only my life, but the people around me, my children, you know? So we want to go to this class and learn how to break off generational curses too after you repent. Hallelujah. So all sin is the transgression of the law of God. All sin is under the influence of worldliness. 1 John 3:4. All right, says, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. Sin blocks us from the sunlight of the Father, the freedom, the joy, the peace, the love. It blocks us from who we really are, who God created us to be. True man, our God nature, okay, disposition, his image and likeness, the born again man. It blocks us from allowing the Holy Spirit to grow us up spiritually, so that we can operate through the new man identity, okay? We want to work out our sanctification to live, to be in our divine nature with God, in union with God, one with the Father, in his image and likeness. So we walk in faith or we walk in fear. And like James said, they're both back and forth.
Fear is faith, yeah. Projection into Jesus.
There you go.
If something's going to go wrong for the destruction of you,
mm-hmm.
Faith is for the better of you.
Amen. So Romans 7:25 says, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's amazing, that scripture. Who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Hallelujah. I mean, do you want to forever feel like you always have to try not to sin, try not to do these things? That's not the way God designed us. Once we surrender, it becomes not desirable. You know, it becomes his heart starts to invade our heart.
When you're delivered.
Yeah, when you're delivered. So where am I here? Okay, so when I see, right, become aware of and am awakened, right, born again, and accept Jesus as the Messiah of my heart, I receive the authority. I get to choose the authority to speak to things. You know, we speak as if. We take captive thoughts. We get to choose these things. Either I'm in manpower versus spiritual power, spirit power or manpower. I choose what authority and power I want to operate in. It's up to me. It's up to everybody listening individually. You have that right. That's the right. That's God's right in you. He gave you that to choose. So even that he gave us. To walk in faith as Jesus did here on earth. He only walked by faith. He walked in both realms, the actual and the real, with the senses, his natural and his spiritual. And by doing that equally, he was able to create miracles through God. God it was able to influence through him. And affect people and infect people, you know? So
affect and infect.
Yes. And we're going to talk about that the next time, infect and affect. Okay. So by receiving the Holy Spirit of God, you receive the power. Okay, so Jesus gives you the authority. Holy Spirit gives you the power. Jesus is our authority. He's the, as we would say, the gun, right? And the Holy Spirit is the power, the bullets, but we get to shoot. All right? It's a, he needs our, it's like turning on the light. You have the bulb and you have the electric. You don't turn on the light. You could have the bulb, you have the electric, but you still don't have light. So we get to choose. All right, James, I want to give you some time to.
Yeah, and I just want to say the generational curse thing that, because some people are like, what is, you know, they think of witchcraft and curses on people, and that's not really, even though that stuff's real, that's not what the generational curse is. And when you go to the doctor, they ask you, did your parents have that? Deuteronomy 28 lists all manner of disease down to hemorrhoids. It says, these will come in you to the third, fourth generation, and sexual sin goes 10 generations, and you can run into them spirits all the time.
And you're going to. Go we'll more into that. Detail. Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to say so they don't Amen. Think we're out to lunch or something.
Yeah, no. But, so make sure you sign up. Call me 631-745-7980. Okay, James.
Okay. Anyone out there that doesn't know the Lord has been listening and would like to have a relationship with Him, just the Bible makes it clear if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that we shall be saved. With the heart, man believes, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So if you want to ask the Lord in your heart, just repeat after me. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I know you died for my sins.
I know you died for my sins.
And I know you rose the third day.
And I know you raised the third day.
I ask you to come into my heart.
I ask you to come into my heart.
And be Lord of my life.
And be Lord of my life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So you're listening to WCNO. This is Kingdom Recovery. And we are having that 5-week classes in October. So if you want information, please, it would be really helpful if you register before and let me know you're coming. My number is 631-745-7980. And again, it's deliverance and healing as God sees it, not us, God's will for us.
And the and letting us know that just helps us print out more paperwork because each person gets some paperwork and stuff.
Man. And other little gifts because I'm involved in that. I like
Leanne always has
stuff. I always have presents for everybody. People, so. I'm a present giver. So I would love to, you know, have enough of everything that I need.
It starts at 6:30.
Yeah. So we love you guys. We agape you. We're happy you joined us, and we hope you join us again next week. Again, you're listening to Kingdom Recovery, and this is WCNO 89.9.
Shalom.
And shalom, shalom. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.
In this obsession with the things this world says make us happy, can't see the slaves we are in all the searching, all the grasping. Like we deserve much more than all these blessings we're holding. So now I'm running free into an ocean. You're my
I once was.